Change, but we will continue on to lessons learned from 40 years or 30 years of corn and grain sorghum crop testing in Texas with Wayne Thompson.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. First of all, I'd like to apologize. Jurek Blumenthal had a family emergency and is unfortunately not able to attend today. Dennis Peach did provide me with some background data to pull together a presentation. And I modified the title to reflect that. Dennis gave me 30 years of data rather than 40. So on that note, I'll move forward. And I'd also like to, at this point, thank David Baltensperger for helping out with some information in preparation of this talk. First of all, crop testing program at Texas A&M at the Department of Soil and Crop Sciences was initiated in 1967. The focus has been corn and grain sorghum. However, recently sunflower has been added and corn silage has been added as well. And only very recently, bioenergy sorghum is being undertaken as a performance trial contendant. Now, I'm working with that. I threw that in because I'm working with it. So, let's see. Here's a nice map of the state of Texas. We illustrate with this. This is actually a 2009 list of locations, but it gives you a pretty clear picture of the dispersed nature of our plots across the states. We have trials down at the experiment station in Weslaco, and we migrate north in through Corpus Christi, Tynan, and Hondo, and then off to the east along the coast and the more humid areas, flat coastal soils of Wharton, and then up in the little drier and somewhat more undulating area of College Station and Granger, and then north into Bardwell, Leonard up north there, and then west into Lubbock and the dry areas where it is dry. I refer to that more of a irrigated early on and then dry if the subsoil moisture is too low. But in any case, it is far managed as a dryland plot. And then, of course, up north in the heavily irrigated areas in Dumas, Hartley, and Delhart, corn heaven, as Jurek would often say. Very, very high yields realized in those areas. Now, on that note, I think this is a point where we can sort of think about some of the costs associated with the program. What would be one of the big costs that you can visualize in your mind by looking at this map?
Travel.
Exactly. Safety as well. Think of this, we have vehicles, and the vehicles must be incredibly well maintained, typically new. If not new, somewhat dangerous, and we have to avoid that. So we have very good equipment, and we're pulling large pieces of machinery, harvest equipment, combines, tractors, planters, hauling people all around the state. Very expensive project. Pretty clear, isn't it? Okay, so over time, the numbers of entries per year has varied. It ranges just below 200 to just about 500 in one year, and this data spans the time from 1980 through this past year in 2010. So if we add to the left y-axis the amount of the fee, the amount charged per entry, we can see that it was just a bit below $100, about $70 back in 1980, and then it ramped up just ever so slightly in 1990. It bumped up to over $100, and now we're picking up to a dollar amount just below $200 per entry, and of course that reflects the fact that this program is self-sustaining in terms of its budget. And so if we multiply that out, we can see what Dennis brings in each year with this program in 2010, just below $70,000, roughly $68,000 on the corn component of this program. Now I'll move into the grain sorghum program. Grain sorghum also is spread across the entire state. Fewer locations. Failed to mention, corn acreage in the state is increasing. to a certain extent. However, grain sorghum acreage is on the decline. Maybe if the drought conditions persist, grain sorghum will ramp up again. That is definitely a possibility. Here we illustrate the fully irrigated versus dry land versus limited irrigated plots. College Station is limited, and of course we also have a limited plot in Weslaco, but then of course it's dispersed across the state with the others. And again, our travel costs are quite high with this program. And again, too, consider this, that we make multiple trips to each location each year, preparing the plots, planting the plots, cleaning the plots, taking notes on plant growth, and then, of course, later, final notes and harvest. And it may require 2 to 3 visits to each plot to maintain the plots. And so a number of student workers help the program, or help with the program. And also in some locations, Dennis is lucky enough to have some incredibly diligent and effective ag agents taking notes and helping with the projects as well. So that definitely lowers some of the program costs. So now on our little chart, we can see how the numbers of entries ramped up quite nicely into the 1990 era, and then is on a slow decline down to the current date of 2010. The fees charged, again, are moving up to help offset a lot of the overhead that is incurred. And so here's our chart on the right-hand y-axis that allows us to see the range of gross income that was used to defray the costs of this, I'd say, break even, and sometimes a little bit in the red program of crop testing and crop performance testing. So, on that note, this project is quite effective and definitely appreciated by many clientele. It's one of the more valuable programs in that it spans the entire state, and many people are involved. It encompasses efforts across industry. We have, and in fact, on the board, the advisory board, there's great interest in maintaining clean, clear, unbiased information, and I believe that this is one of the more excellent programs in the state from that perspective as well. This program spans the entire state. Dennis has moved most of the plots from experiment stations into farmer fields to reflect more clearly, let's say, I'd suggest possibly lower input systems than what you would find on a research station, to reflect the lower input systems and management styles of a producer. So it brings in that component as well. And I believe that's important. Plus, it is often positioned, that is, a plot is often positioned on the road. So as a neighbor producer drives by, they will see the sign and often move in and look at the plots as well. And of course, ag agents will participate by holding programs at those locations. And of course, it's a big extension event, typically, where the producers are introduced to a host of varieties and then have adjacent, or let's say, complementary speakers who may speak on soil fertility or plant disease and so on. So it becomes a very large focal point for the communities, not just as a variety testing, but also as let's say, a focal point for agriculture education opportunities. There is one challenge in that the program at this point is not all-inclusive. Not every single seed producer submits seed to participate in this unbiased method of evaluating or demonstrating performance of the different seeds and hybrids. So there is some issue with that, and I believe I'll leave it on that note and say thank you. Very quick talk. Any questions would be welcome. One thing I think I'll bring up, though, is that we do have a very effective website where all of the information can be provided quite quickly. For example, right now you can access 2011 results. There are three-year summaries as well for corn, and then of course with the grain sorghum as well.
We have time for a question or two.
Have you found some of the companies starting to kind of pull out of y'all's test, or are they still?
Most specifically, I would suggest the sorghum is going down. Yes. But the sunflower is going up as well, so there are other things happening. Yes. Any others?
I might ask one along those lines. I guess on the graph you showed with entries by year, and I believe it was corn, but I noticed it must have been the early 2000s. There was a very sharp decline
in the grain sorghum. Oh, that's right.
A very, very sharp decline and then a very sharp increase. Do you have any explanation of what, do you know what caused those shifts right there?
I would like some.
Can you jump in there and say that was a transition in program director?
Okay. Oh, very good point. Yes, that's exactly right. I can fill in the gap there, David. Thank you very much. Good point. The reason there is a decline is that there was a transition in the management style and possibly the way the program was being, let's say, overseen. And there was a change in the pricing structure as well. Go ahead,
also,
Travis.
Also, we've got supplementary tests about then. In other words, not necessarily official variety trial, but testing hybrids.
Yes, as part of the, let's say, transition in management style, it incorporated a second form of testing, which effectively became a private,
proprietary.
It was proprietary, exactly, proprietary testing program managed by Dennis Peach and his crew. So that became an income source, which was very important for this program to maintain that form of income.
Yeah, very interesting. I was real curious whether it was a programmatic thing.
Yeah, it was a programmatic thing. Yeah, that's right. Good point. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that input.
So let's thank our speaker.